Okay, we are going to recite our weekly memory verse together. We do this so that the scripture, the word of the living God, may dwell within us. So let's have the slide up behind us. And we will do the memory verse from this week. And then we will do the next one as well. Proverbs 3, verse 41? 34. Is it 34?
Yeah.
You sure? I think it was 24. 30. Proverbs 3, 34. Let's say it together. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. One more time. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. That is a major theme of the entire Bible. For this week, we have a brand new memory verse, and it is from, it's a long one, it's more than one verse, it's actually three, but for your sake, I cut it down to two. Anti-generous. Let's say it together, and we're going to unpack it this morning in the message, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 10, 4.
By grace you have been saved.
Very good. May God's living word be hidden in your hearts. Now, children, go have a wonderful time in the kids' house, little house. On that note, as I pray, children ministry is growing because our kids are growing and we need more teachers, helpers. If you're one of those, please talk to Melissa McCauley, who is the director of Children and Youth Ministry. We're kicking off a brand new sermon message starting today. We're going to go through the entire book of Mark. It may take us 2 years, so hang with me here. Today we're going to focus on the opening chapter, and in the opening chapter we're going to focus on one word. And what's that word again? What's that word again?
Gospel.
You people over here, what's the word again?
Gospel.
Very good. You people over here, the word is?
Gospel.
I like you. I don't show favoritism. I just said I like you, that's all. Shame on you for thinking what's in your heart. Now, two things. I'm going to be really quick about this because the most of the sermon will be on the word, the gospel, and the most of the sermon will hear and see and you will feel the impact of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Two things. The author is Mark. Mark wrote this letter, the book of Mark, to the church in Rome. Very important. Where was it sent to? Church in Rome. This is a new church plant, if you will, made up of few Jewish Christians, but predominantly most of the church congregation was Roman Christians. Got it? Important piece. I want to explain to you two things today. The word gospel, what did it mean to the Christians in the church in Rome? Historically and politically. Second question, what are the theological, biblical meaning of the gospel to them and to us today? So hear the word of the Lord coming to us from Mark. May I suggest that in this message, as we answer the question, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ, utilize the sermon notes. You have access to that sermon notes by using the QR code in front of you. Hear the word of the Lord. I will read from verses 1 to 8, but we're going to focus on only verse 1. The beginning of the gospel, that's what the word means, the gospel. I prefer the word gospel, because good news, when a Korean man says, raise your hand if you're Korean. Oh, Mr. Richard Allen, you are a Korean wannabe. What does it mean when a Korean says to you, do you have any good news? It means Are you expecting? Okay? Good news is not what it means. And that's why I like the word gospel, because you've got to unpack it. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus the Messiah. You see that footnote, letter A? You know what that means? When you come across these notes in your Bible, you've got to pause. That's important information. So you go down to the bottom of the page in your Bible, on the same chapter, and you will find Messiah means Christ. In Greek, it means Christ. That's Greek. In Hebrew, it's Messiah, which means the anointed one. The one who has been anointed. Not only any God, but the anointed one. The Son of God. Verse 2. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The theme and the goal: Jesus the Messiah saves you by his gospel. Therefore, you and I, we proclaim his gospel. Jesus Christ, he saves you by his gospel. And that's why we memorize Ephesians 2. You are saved by his grace. So there, you got it. Somehow, the gospel equates sin as grace. You are saved by his grace, the gospel. Therefore, this is what we do. Having been saved by his gospel, we proclaim, we declare, we work out, we testify to the working, the application of the gospel to everyone. We receive something, and we do something in respond to that grace. Let's do a word study. One word. The gospel in Greek is, say, euangelion. One more time, euangelion. Two words put together. Okay? So, eu means well or good. Angelos means herald, news. In fact, the word angel is angelos. Angelos is none other than someone who heralds God's news, message. So when you put these two words together, euangelion, the gospel, means, in English, good news, but it doesn't do justice. And that's because the archaeologists found this inscription in Priene. Priene is the modern-day Turkey, okay? And this dates about 6 to 9 BC. And here's what the inscription says. And this is what people read and heard. The beginning of the gospel of Caesar Augustus, the son of God. Let that sink in for a bit. Mark is borrowing that which was prevalent and common in his day, something that the Christians in church in Rome would have understood. When he said the gospel, they said, whoa, we've heard that before. The beginning of the gospel of Caesar Augustus, the emperor, the son of God. The beginning of the rule of Caesar. So historically, this is what that meant. The empire was told, it understood and believed, that the birth of the emperor, Augustus, Christus was the beginning of the gospel, the Son of God. They actually worshiped this man. It was required by law to pay homage to the Caesar. And it was thought that he would bring peace into the Roman Empire. Hence the famous Latin word, Pax Romana. What do you suppose the Roman Christians in Church of Rome, when they heard the opening of the book of Mark, first verse, in the beginning, yeah? This is the beginning about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Whoa! Historically, politically, they were told, and they believed, Caesar is not their anointed king. Caesar is not going to bring the peace into the entire world. They were told and believed that it is the anointed one, Messiah, Christ, that king, the Son of God, the true Son of God, he's going to bring peace into the world. This is the historical and political meaning of that word, the gospel. Not very much time. I gotta move on. So what does it mean, the gospel, in terms of the biblical and theological implications? The gospel is essentially an event that happened in history that brings about very significant, lasting impact. That's it. It's an event. Something like the birth of Caesar happened, and therefore, Pax Romana, peace on earth. Gospel of Jesus Christ. Something happened in history as an event. It occurred in reality. And therefore, something significant, something lasting is happening to us. What happened? The Son of God, the anointed Messiah, God himself, came. He was born. He declared his kingdom. He was crucified, died, was buried. He ascended from the tomb, and he rose again. He ascended to the heaven. That's the gospel. An event happened. Something happened in history. And what is significance and biblical theological meaning for us today? This. You are saved by the event. You are saved by the gospel of Christ. You are saved by who he is and what he has done. Period. It's not something you have to do. Not something you have done. Something has been done for you and to you. That's the gospel. So here's how I want to put it. Do versus study. Do means what you must do to be saved. This is all the religions of the world. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Shintoism, Confucian. It's what you must do to be saved. Be a good person. Be kind to others. Observe all these requirements of the law of your religion. Do them, and you will be saved. Even Buddhism falls in this category. What is the purpose of your the meaning of your life? Well, do good. Make the world a better place. So it's something that you must do. The gospel, on the other hand, is what? Spelled D-O-N-E. It's done. What has been done to you to save you? And this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You did not do a thing. I could not do a thing for my salvation. It has been done to me, done for me, by the gospel. Christ came down. He died. He rose again. He ascended on. That's the gospel. He has fulfilled every requirement of God's holy law. And therefore now I receive that as a credit. Imputed upon me. What he has done is now mine. It's been done to me and for me. That is the gospel. So therefore, we his gospel, We live out His gospel. We work out its implications in our lives, and thereby many other people will be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in Mosaic House Church, here is one statement. It's the mission statement that summarizes what we are trying to accomplish by the Holy Spirit. Would you read that together? Mosaic House Church is a multicultural community of house churches, leading people to Jesus and serving our city. That's how we work out the gospel of Christ. Now that we've been saved by His gospel, we as multicultural, diverse group of people, as house churches that meet throughout the week all over the city, we do two things. We lead people to Jesus, the Great Commission, and we serve our city. That's it. The whole Bible summarized in the two commandments. Essentially, I am therefore, you are therefore, anyone who is saved by the gospel, truer disciple of Jesus Christ. Disciple of Christ. We become like Him. So we declare His gospel to the world. What does a disciple of Christ look like? We have answered that question in this way. A disciple of Jesus Christ embraces, lives out six core values. And they are Scripture, to know Jesus. Prayer. To meet Jesus. Prayer is not getting things from God. Prayer is getting God. Generosity, to show Jesus. Community, to belong with Jesus. Send out to go with Jesus. Movement, to multiply Jesus. So I get to celebrate with you how we, as the body of Christ, we've been doing this collectively, but also individually. So the order will be like this. We're going to hear something about the value of community, the value of Scripture, the value of prayer, and then we're going to lump the values of generosity and sent out together, and lastly, the value of movement. Let's give God the glory.
About 15 years ago, you had just established recently, and we had some friends that were among your first congregants, and so they had events with the family, so we came to visit a few times, and then we decided we'd like to start coming on a regular basis. What really impressed us was the welcoming attitude of the people that were there at the time, and as we came a few times, the multiculturalism of Mosaic House Church became very, very important to us. Both Herman and I grew up in a church of white Dutch people, and it was so refreshing to have the broad spectrum of different nationalities. It was very wonderful. There was a bit of a change in people, and the house church leaders at that time decided to form a different house church. There was a vacancy, and because Herman and I had a larger home, we decided that we would be appropriate leaders and that we would be willing to host because we had the space to host. I have also, before we became official members, I cooked for many, many years for the Alpha program. What I did more in Mosaic House was often in the background. If people needed to have a ride somewhere, they knew they could phone me, and I did work in the background a fair amount. For me, a house church is more than a Bible study. It's much more than that. It is a gathering of a group of people who support each other spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And that spiritual aspect is very important, but also the emotional aspect. We often will support people physically, but the emotional, that the sort of the unspoken things. I see our house church as being part of the pastoral care of the community. We belong together not only to receive, but to give as well. It has to be a two-way street, and that's very much, I see that very much in the house church that we have. It means to me that we have a safe place to discuss issues that might be coming up in the world, issues that we may have in our families, issues that we may have in our personal lives. For me, community is safety also. It's, like I say, it's a safe place to discuss things, to learn from each other. The spiritual aspect, we have people from many different religious backgrounds and religious upbringings. And so as we discuss something, we discuss as Christians, but we can get different input from different backgrounds as to what the topic we are discussing about. We are all affected by our upbringing, and to have various upbringings, all of them Christian, but different, it's really refreshing. You don't get a regurgitation of values because you've all come from the same background. That I find is very good. Physically, we have supported each other, and I can speak for myself personally, is that now that I'm alone, can't do all the work that I want to do, and a number of the house church members have always volunteered to do some of the digging of posts that I need to have done, or transplanting larger plants, and they come over and help me with that. Emotionally, again, we've had members that have lost parents, group members that have lost physical changes. We have a couple of families that came as refugees, and we have supported them throughout that, both financially, and it has never been a case of doing it. It was a free will thing, but we have supported each other financially, emotionally. We've done them all, and I'm very proud of my house church. We do invite various people. As we see visitors, we do invite them to come if they live in the general area of our house church, which is in the Parkview area of Edmonton. Well, it's encouraged me to speak out more to my own neighbors, my physical neighborhood, because I have practiced some of these things in the community of my house church. I can feel more confident to invite the members of my neighborhood to get to know them better. And that has been very evident that I've been able to do that, and I've had results in that they have been very supportive of me, again, now that I'm a widow. The freedom to talk about what we believe in is really quite encouraging and quite safe, is the word I want. Safe is what I want to use. Because there are so many things that are in play, I don't know which is what, where it comes from. I just know that I'm closer to God, and why that is and where that comes from, it's too many different balls in play. I just know that I'm closer to God. It's just that I cannot pinpoint one particular thing or one particular aspect. It's living life with Him.
Yes. And that's because she belongs with Jesus first and foremost. And whoever belongs with Him belongs with His community. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing. We're going to move on to the value of Scripture to know Jesus. I want to invite Young Mo to the front, please. To know Jesus, Scripture is the foundational value in all six. So please come and have a seat. thank you for coming up. And now, I made him a promise. I said, if you do this, because, you know, at first, you know, he was, well, I think I should, but my promise was, if you do this, God will be glorified, and the church will be edified. I will fulfill that promise. First question, you know. Briefly tell us about your faith journey, and more specifically, share with us your view towards the scripture and the Bible growing up.
So for me, I grew up in a Christian family, in a household. When I was younger, I really didn't think that I had that deep connection with the Lord. I didn't think that I understood him that well. I think when I was growing up, I saw the Bible as like a mere collection of like teachings of good morals and ethics. So for me, it really changed when as I grew older, and as God has placed people in my life who lived faithfully through scripture, and I think it really broadened my perspective of what really the Bible was, which obviously is the things that point towards the gospel itself. Yeah.
So when you were growing up in a Christian home, Bible was a collection of just bunch of sayings. So it didn't make any difference in your life per se, but something happened along the way. I caught that. What happened? What occurred? What contributed to this transformation in terms of your view towards the Bible, scripture?
So as I got older, there were seasons in my life where I went through deep anxiety and some suffering, and I really didn't know what to really make of it. But I know that God has placed people in my life, like my friends and my family, that really implored me to really seek him. And once I have really accepted that Christ died for a sinner like myself, and he redeems someone like myself, who is a sinner, I came to a conclusion that I really had to get to know him. And the only way I would know him is by reading the scripture and diving really deep into it.
Tough times brought about this thirst, hunger, and need for transformation, hence that led you to the scripture. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about some of your habits. How do you live up this value of scripture, knowing Jesus? What do you do? What has been helpful, unhelpful, fruitful?
Some of the things that I tried doing was to make sure that I spend deliberate time reading scripture, like every morning and the evening as well before. So I start my day right as well as end my day. And by doing so, I think it helps. Another thing that really helped me in my, in trying to go deep and wide is by reading the Bible and just ruminating over it and reading different translations. And using different types of tools, like, you know, Bible dictionary, because obviously I don't know much, and therefore I needed to look up some of the terminology so I know a little bit more about that. And potentially at the end, after reading the Bible, using some of the commentaries, you know, to even broaden my perspective, I think that helped me quite a bit.
Very good. But some of us might hear it and say, I can't do all that. I'm not even a morning person. I don't even start the day with my Bible, let alone different translations, commentaries. What would you say to us?
I would say, you know, obviously I still make mistakes and I still fall quite a bit, right? I wish I could spend more deliberate time with that, but I would encourage people to be curious and excited rather than feeling more obligated to spend the time with the Lord. And as you read, I always find that there is, every single time, the Bible is quite complex. And every single time I read, even if I read the same verses over and over again, sometimes it reveals some truth that I might have, you know, missed. Or some days I would read it and there would be times that I feel as though that the Lord is with me. And it's something that I needed to really hear about that. Yeah, that really makes me really excited and engaged because I get to know him more. And I feel that my life is being transformed in his image.
Very helpful. Encouraging. Last question, maybe. As you live out the value of Scripture to know Jesus, as it transforms you, how has this value of Scripture knowing Jesus brought you close to God and also helped you to love your neighbors?
Oh, I mean, by reading the Bible, I mean, it's like the special revelation. Like, you start to know, like, the character of God himself and his heart for his people. And by knowing that, like, his compassion, his humility, and his sacrificial love, I think it's like that in itself becomes like an outpouring where I want to do the same. I want to be able to, you know, pick up my cross and be able to follow it. It just becomes an extension in every aspect of my life. So when I treat other people, I think I want to be able to do the same thing. I want to be able to share his grace and his love for his people and for his creation.
You know what I appreciate about him sharing all this? What I catch and detect is knowing Jesus in Scripture is no longer an obligation. He enjoys it. It gives life to me. It is life-giving. Great. So here's a curveball. I didn't give you a heads up on this. When you go to the Bible, you know, with your disciplines, do you do that with Cindy, your wife? Do you do that with other people together, or is it a more of a solitary discipline in celebration?
No, I think. Sorry.
You have a really good voice.
Thank you.
You may not need it, but go join their live stream. Oh, by the way, we got live streams, so they need you to use them.
Yes. I mean, there's times when I would like to spend just myself with the Lord, but at the same time, my lovely wife, Cindy, I mean, we love talking about different things that are theological and being able to kind of share some of that information and be able to share. We also have a group where we read the Bible and we wait for everyone to read verses before we move on. So it's more of a community kind of aspect as well, too. So we can able to, you know, be able to enjoy God's word as well.
Is that group your house church?
House church as well as...
In another room.
Another one.
Yes. Another room. Okay.
Together.
Thank you. Shake your hand. Quick, what did you hear? What caught your ears?
Dedication.
Joy. That came out loudly to me. Okay. One more. Life-giving. How about you guys?
Community.
You guys up there. Learning about God. Okay. There's also hunger, you know? Hungering. Lynn, come on right up. Let's talk about the value of prayer. Now, prayer is not so much getting things from God, but primarily prayer is getting God. And that's why we frame it, prayer to meet Jesus, your manger. Lynn, thank you so much for agreeing to do this. I made you a promise. If you do this, I promise what I promised to the young one. God will be glorified. Church will be edified. Did I fulfill my promise to the young one?
Yes.
Not that I did. I promised it would happen. So, Lynn, tell us about... What's the first question? Read it for me.
I don't have the question wrote down, but it's...
Yeah. Go on.
So basically...
Oh, yeah. How many did the Mosaic House Church?
Exactly right.
How long did you meet the Mosaic House Church? And what were your first impressions when you came?
So if you don't know me, my name is Lynn Duell. I've been coming to Mosaic House for 12 years. We had just moved here from Ontario. I was not completely happy about coming here and leaving all my family and my church family there. But I told the Lord, I trust you and I will go where my husband needs to go. Jesus, you must have something in store for me, and I don't want to miss out. Even though I'm scared and I will miss my family, I will go. I found Mosaic House online, and I listened to a sermon of yours. And then my son and I came to a few, and we listened.
Garrett.
Yes, and we felt so led to come. So I've been a covenant partner ever since. I think the same summer we joined, I became a covenant partner.
How long ago was this?
12 years.
12 years.
12 years.
Went by fast.
Yeah.
Thank you. Prayer is a passion of yours. So this is where she serves in Mosaic House Church, in prayer ministry. So number one, before you get here, she and other intercessors, they meet in the boardroom and they pray for you. Tomorrow night, Monday night, via Zoom, these people, not the same people, but Lynn is there and she prays for you. And there's a sister joining us all the way from Toronto, Marcy. Every Monday night. And then during the service, she sits there and she prays while the service is in action for you. So here's my question. I'm going out of order. What am I supposed to ask you? Well, that's number two. You appreciate about Mosaic House Church, will you? Set your pastor straight. What do you appreciate about Mosaic House Church?
Okay. Above all, I appreciate the people, all of you. We are so diverse and at different stages in our walk with the Lord. We learn together once a week here and as often as we can in a house church, which is a small group of people who I've come to love. My house church is a safe place to share, care, and be there for one another. It takes me a while to trust people, and there we build that trust over time. What I appreciate about this church is I love the congregational worship, and I love worship through song. The sermons aren't so bad either. Pastor Victor is getting better and better and growing deep and wide through his own walk with the Lord and challenges. I love you.
We're going to end right here. That word safe came up again in your house church. Well, you know the same house church is pizza? Man! Can I join you guys too?
Yes.
All right, okay, so. Question number two, okay? All these different prayer ministries, how are they similar and how are they different? And what do you pray for?
Well, the similarity is that I want the Holy Spirit to lead everything I'm praying for and not to be just, oh, this is what we should pray about to me. So in the pre-service prayer, it starts at 10. Pray for about a half an hour. We thank God for bringing us here once again safely and be able to worship again with the body and for all the previous week's needs being met and his protection. We pray for the church, the ministries here, and the people leading and giving of themselves week after week. Healing for the body, revival, and hunger for God's word, and for God to fill this place to overflow. Ultimately, for God's people to leave all their problems and distractions at the door and worship without any kind of hindrance, to leave this place changed and to be ready to be a soldier in God's army. We pray for the pastors, the elders, and the congregation as a whole. And And most importantly, whatever the Holy Spirit prompts me to pray for. As an intercessor, I pray in the back during the worship service. I stand in the gap for all of you, and I ask the Holy Spirit to show me what I need to pray about. I want to be obedient to the Spirit and not my own ideas. Jesus is the greatest intercessor. He speaks to the Father on our behalf when we pray. Monday night, there's five of us usually, five ladies. We catch up, we talk, and we ask for prayer requests. We pray for each other, friends, the church, the city, the world, and we do this for about an hour. And you asked me before, why is prayer a passion line?
Well, let me ask the question. Is it evident to you that prayer is Lynn's passion? Yeah? Okay. So here's my question. Why is it a passion of yours? Should it be a passion for everyone? Did you ask for it? Did you train for it? Did you strive to? So,
no. Prayer is not a passion for everybody. Absolutely not. Prayer is very difficult. It's a mystery. It really is. But it's a passion and privilege of mine because I learned a long time ago that I can do nothing of value without God's help in my life. Prayer is just a conversation. And prayer is the foundation of being a Christian. There is no formula. The Holy Spirit leads me, and I trust Jesus' answers and know that He is enough. Praying is so intimate. No one knows me. He does, and yet He still loves me. Our God is powerful, and He's not surprised one bit by our requests. We are commanded by Jesus to pray. If we don't pray, we miss out on so much. And meeting Jesus to me means believing that He is the one who He says He is, and life without Him is pretty pointless. The day I met Jesus in my car was the last day I feared for what the future would bring. I gave up on myself and asked Him to help. He is the one who helps me pray with others. Like I said before, years ago, I would never have believed I would be praying with people and not just in my own bedroom. I'm not a scholar, and I have a hard time explaining what I really want to, hence the paper. Jesus let me know to be myself and not to worry about how anyone else prays. Pray and speak from your heart, Lynn, with the Holy Spirit's help.
Thank you. Oh, this is for you? I was going to say, thank you, Tim. This is for you, I was. Okay, good. Everyone, follower of Christ, we get to meet Jesus in prayer. And I heard it loud and clear. You meet the Lord Jesus in prayer. My next question is, those of us see you being on fire in regards to prayer and do all these prayer ministries and so passionate about it. And we might say, but I could never do that. Yeah? But I saw, I heard, you mature into it. You grew into it. You used to be a closet prayer, okay, yeah. Praying alone, but now you are an intercessor. So what would your advice encourage the rest of us? Feeling, ooh, I can't do that now.
Maturity in prayer. Mm. Prayer is a process and did not come naturally for me. get so scatterbrained. I have to really focus and lock myself away from distractions. I have also learned God will not answer contrary to his word. Every Christian must commune with the Father through Jesus. Jesus said, you do not have because you do not ask. Pray about everything, and when you can't, cry out and know that the Holy Spirit will intercede for you. When you don't feel like it, that's when you need to pray the most. Mm. Confess any sin or ask him if there is something still hindering you from totally submitting and surrendering. Prayer is a conversation where you can actually say whatever you want. God knows already anyway, but he wants us to ask him. He can only respond to our prayers, and we need to cooperate when we pray. Prayer is powerful. Jesus' name has power, and he gives us authority to speak in his name and to come into agreement with us. And just remember that God so deeply wants a relationship with you and for you to entrust your life to his care. What have you got to lose? And I have a quote from R.A. Torrey. He was an evangelist pastor in the 1800s, died in the early 1900s. And this quote is so powerful. He says, prayer is the key that unlocks all the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. Amen.
Amen. Last question. So therefore, how has the, as you live out the daily prayer to meet Jesus, not so much get things from God, but get God, okay, in prayer, how has that helped you love God and love your neighbor more?
Well, I love God and I love my neighbor, and my neighbor is anybody I meet. And even if I don't like that person, now I have to say that person is loved by God, created in the image of God, and I am called to love that person too. Don't always have to like them, but I am called to love them. They may not be my best friend, but I have to respect them and pray for them. Pray for my enemies. Yeah.
Let's thank him. You know what I heard? I don't have to like you all, but I do have to love you all. Okay, two values now. Generosity to show Jesus. We utilize, you use, you invest the time, the talents, and treasure that the Holy Spirit invested in you, entrusted to you. That's generosity. And when you do that, you show Jesus to people. We do that here, but also out there. Next value is sent out to go with Jesus. Jesus is going. He's going out. So he's sending us out, and that's where we go with Jesus. So we're going to combine the two values together. Not long ago, we collectively, as the body of Christ, we worked hard, prepared hard, and we hosted a block party. Some 200 people from this neighborhood came. We set aside that Sunday. That was a huge, huge investment on our part. Time, talents, and treasure. Let's give God the glory. Roll it. That is the island of Patmos, where the Apostle John wrote the.
dancing, and it's, yeah.
Relaxing and dancing.
I mean, you can see the background, so, you know.
It's a good way to showcase our hospitality and our community. So we just want to extend what we have in Mosaic House Church to all well.
Yeah, and it's a great way for us to love others as well as to serve the community faithfully in Christ. So I think it's a great idea, for sure.
Well, we just moved in a few blocks that way, and we saw all the signs, and we got a letter in our mailbox. And so we thought, you know, like, we'll come by and check it out. Really new to the neighborhood, so we thought it'd be a good way to come by and meet people. And everyone we've met is extremely friendly. So I'd just like to thank, you know, whoever put the song. They did a wonderful job, you know. It's really opening and welcoming. I think, like, 7 people said welcome to the neighborhood in the first, like, 5 minutes. So that was really nice. Super friendly. I really liked the petting zoo. That was very cool. And also, the food was extremely good. So, yeah, I would recommend to anybody else that's coming by. I look forward to going to the next one next year.
My name is Mark Kennett, and I have a partner and 2 kids. You guys are very welcoming. I really appreciate it. You guys don't push. I've had that before. And you guys are very, like, considerate and nice. That's why I like coming back. The food, the music, and gotta say the animals are quite fun.
Yeah, this is when I heard about this party with one of my friends. So she's my colleague, she's serving community from a long time. From where, like, I came to know about it. A block party really looks like. I went to the few block parties, but those are, like, not this much fun energy things. So I really got a good energy from this block party. It's a block party, it's not blocking anybody. The sliding there. So he never climbed the slide before. So he was climbing around all, and he's playing with the snake and snake on ladder. And the TikTok toy, of course. I enjoyed the TikTok toy with a friend of mine. I met Gabby. I forgot his name, but he's really fun. And I met Richard too. So I enjoyed with him, like, the party. Yeah. Make this kind of more every summer. Not just to stick to one time in a summer, probably 3 or 4. More and meet to the people regularly. You don't know much about the people. Yes.
Matthew McCullough, scientist, professor at the university. I think I'm just enjoying watching people having fun. The energy of the young folks dancing, you know, just the energy.
Good vibes.
Good vibes, very good vibes. To make connections is very difficult, extremely difficult nowadays. And so, you know, having this, a free hot dog, a free piece of watermelon, and to get to know who we are, I think that's really important.
Hi, my name is Ram. I have 2 daughters. We just moved to this community last week. Tim, who came to my house, visited and invited us for the party. The day we moved in, so we were excited to see what's happening around here. I know it's Sunday, and my kids wanted to make some friends and meet around what's happening here. You know, welcome me so warm, and we are, like, very happy about it.
My name is Jimski. We are a family coming to Mosaic House Church. We are enjoying it so far. My family, we have a family of 4 people. Me and my wife and our 2 daughters. It is a blessing to be part of this wonderful community, this wonderful church, praying God together, eating together, enjoying together, and making sure at the same time we have God, we've accomplished the mission of our church. And we love being together as a church. We love being with other people as well, inviting people to join us. And speaking, having fun together, eating. Yes, that's basically what I love about the block party, which is one of the best things we can do as a church to invite people to get to know Jesus.
man walks in there, we're going to... Anton showed generosity by printing all the videos together. So thank you so much. Scripture, to know Jesus, prayer, to meet Jesus, generosity, to show Jesus, sent out to go with Jesus. And we have one more, the movement to multiply Jesus. Pastor Jeremiah, please come up. Last night was two nights ago. Yeah, so please come. He was examined by classes for his ordination, and he sustained the examination, and we have the date for his ordination, November 23rd. November 23rd? That's my birthday?
Yeah, is it?
Every day is my birthday. Do I need to ask the questions or do you know them already?
Yeah, I know them, yeah.
Alright. Okay.
Well, you just asked me just to talk about how I came to Mosaic House Church. I've been here 11 years, and I came here because Pastor Victor preached at Sarah's home church in Lacombe. And my mother said, mother-in-law said it was very memorable, in a good way. And we were praying about what to do. I was at King's University, so I heard about the CRC. And the thing that my wife and I were struggling with was infant baptism, actually. What do we do with this issue? I grew up Pentecostal, and my parents are ex-Catholics, so they didn't really like infant baptism. And what happened was, the day we were coming to Mosaic House, I got lost. So we didn't go that day. The next week, we came to Mosaic House. First person I saw was my landlord, Lawrence Vanderhoek. He was greeting. I'm like, Lawrence, what are you doing here? I don't have rent yet. Lawrence, Pastor Ann and Lawrence were my landlords at the time. Oh, that was weird. We went in there, and we're looking for a multicultural church. I was going to Filipino church at the time. My wife was going to a Baptist church. We're seeking that. We saw all the diversity. And then that day was actually a baptism service for both babies and adults. And we're like, wow, I think God's telling us something here. We can work this out in this community. And Pastor Victor, you know, he can be a little persistent. He saw that I was a theology student. He saw that I was kind of brown-ish at the time. And then he wanted leaders of color to be raised up, and he started mentoring me. Also started a house church, Dan and Laura's and boys' house. It was closest to King's. And through community, through Pastor Victor mentoring me, I eventually became a commissioned pastor in 2018. I went through the ordination process then, and then became actually when the church plant happened, where we planted with, we had a East Campus and South Campus. I became one of the pastors at East Campus. And then through more mentoring, I had to go back to school, yada, yada, yada. I got another examination, which was about 3 hours long, oral exam, and by God's grace, I passed. Woo! On Friday. So now, and whatever God is calling us to do with sent out, or is so to multiply, is when we live out all those values: prayer, scripture, generosity, being sent out to the world. When the Holy Spirit, we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says over and over again, the people met together, they did all those things, and then God added to the number daily those who were being saved. There was a movement in the Spirit which caused God's light, God's glory to show across the city. And that's what we are called to do. And I grew up in a tradition which really focused on evangelism, but not so much on the other values, and it kind of got a little messy. Like, my dad went to a Prince funeral, and he tried to evangelize there. said, oh, you know, this person's probably in hell, you know? That, I love his heart and passion, but when we did the block party, that's how I think we should do evangelism, okay? That's a little better. And when we follow Jesus, first we follow Jesus, his gospel, people be like, that's what following Jesus looks like? I want that too. And particularly, God has called Mosaic House and me to plant a church every 5 years, and the next church plant is coming up soon, so please pray for us. And did anybody go to Dunamis this weekend? Anybody go to Dunamis? It's actually the Holy Spirit Conference of the CRC. We have a Holy Spirit Conference. And a few years ago, there was a word, a truth proclaimed that revival will come actually through indigenous people in Edmonton, and maybe around Canada. And I'm happy to say CRC is very involved in this ministry. And today, by God's providence, we have my friend Adrian Jacobs. If you don't mind standing up, Adrian, he is the senior leader of Indigenous Justice and Reconciliation for this Christian Reformed Church across all of Canada. Center by Harold Boucher, the CRC is called from the very, very beginning to focus on Indigenous ministry. And since my work in the inner city for 12 years, I see the strength and beauty, but also the struggle and pain of Indigenous peoples and how they are seeking the Creator. There's a great desire there, and I sense a call to plant a church where Indigenous peoples and those living in poverty and homelessness are at the center, so that God's and like His kingdom will shine greatly, so that others may see what God is doing in that place and be part of the movement where we are called to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples for the glory and praise of God our Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of His Holy Spirit. So I'm very honored to be part of Mosaic House Church, who is about to plant another church, have a new baby, in God's time and in His way. Thank you.
Give God the glory. You are saved by His gospel. Therefore, we proclaim His gospel. I'll invite the priest into the front. Pray with me. Lord God, Father in heaven, how can we thank you for your grace in our lives and your gospel being proclaimed through us? May each and everyone in this room receive the gospel and proclaim the gospel to your glory. Amen. Amen.